The Trump administration moves to erase Obama-era rules on methane emissions.
Climate is not the same priority for the Trump administration, and they have made many attempts to pull back on how the federal government intervenes.
And how satisfied are you with your pay? Hint, it may have to do with your age.
For the first time since the conference board has been comparing generations, millennials are happier with their pay than people over 55.
Plus, Hurricane Dorian heads to the Florida coast. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at why the Trump administration is moving to roll back rules on methane emissions from the oil and gas business, here's what you missed. Hurricane Dorian spared the main island of Puerto Rico, but struck the eastern islands of Culebra and Vieques late yesterday. The Category 1 hurricane packed maximum sustained winds of 80 miles per hour with even higher gusts. Elmer Roman, Puerto Rico's Director of Public Safety, said the island was prepared for the storm.
We are working towards ensuring the safety of our people. We have obviously a condition of a hurricane in the eastern side of the island, but still we are on watch for a tropical storm winds on the rest of the island.
Forecasters said Dorian was starting to form a, quote, hint of an eye, and predicted it would grow into a Category 3 hurricane as it heads over warm waters and towards the east coast of Florida. The Hurricane Center said, quote, all indications are that by this Labor Day weekend, a powerful hurricane will be near the Florida or southeastern coast of the United States. We'll have the latest up on our website. And New York State Senator Kirsten Gillibrand has ended her presidential campaign. She'd failed to meet the cutoff to appear on the debate stage in September. In a tweet, she wrote, quote, I am so proud of this team and all we've accomplished, but I think it's important to know how you can best serve. And to help combat underage vaping, Juul is rolling out a new age verification system. The e-cigarette maker is offering more than $100 million in incentives to retailers to install the system. It blocks each Juul purchase until the shopper's driver's license or other government ID has been scanned. So far, Juul said Cumberland Farms, Quick Trip, and other chains representing 40,000 outlets have agreed to adopt the system. Now, our main story this morning. The Trump administration is moving to erase Obama-era rules on methane emissions from the oil and gas business. Methane accounts for about 10% of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions and is about 25 times more potent than carbon dioxide in trapping the Earth's heat. That's according to estimates used by the EPA. A Wall Street Journal analysis recently found the U.S. oil and gas industry's methane emissions alone were the equivalent of the greenhouse gas emissions from more than 69 million cars. But the Trump administration says the federal government overstepped its authority when it set the methane limits. Charlie Turner has been finding out more from Tim Pucco.
Tim, regarding the Trump administration's move to ease rules on methane emissions from the oil and gas industry, what are they doing and why?
They're taking a step back for regulating methane at oil and gas operations. This was an important part of the Obama administration climate policy after looking at cars and power plants in the middle of a drilling boom with all sorts of new wells and oil industry infrastructure going in everywhere. The Obama administration decided to concentrate on methane from that industry, all the leaks that come out of pipes and from vents at wells and pipelines and processing plants. Climate is not the same priority for the Trump administration, and they have made many attempts to pull back on how the federal government intervenes to regulate emissions of all types. So this new rule basically eliminates the policy that was there that tried to enforce better corrections, better capture of methane emissions from the oil and gas industry, and leaves behind really scaled back regulations.
What is the EPA's rationale for doing this?
It's a little bit complicated, and there's maybe a little bit of jujitsu involved here, but the idea is that the upstream oil industry, so all the production, wells, the gathering pipes that come out of them, some processing plants, are in EPA's longstanding definitions a different industry from the storage tanks and then the transmission pipelines and other infrastructure like that that connects to those wells to ship oil and natural gas from place to place. And so the EPA is now saying that, well, these two things never should have been regulated as one industry, and that it once you separate them, as in this administration's legal opinion you have to do, then neither of them contribute enough methane emissions to merit federal intervention and targets, specific targets on regulating their methane emissions. So yeah, they're claiming that there was major overreach from the Obama administration and that they don't have the authority to do these things, they must scale them back.
Isn't there division within the oil and gas industry over methane regulation?
There is, and it's pretty stark. A lot of the largest oil companies in the world want federal government regulation. They feel that setting strict standards monitored by a government like the United States that people have confidence in is the best way to guarantee that that gas is a cleaner fuel. As long as you keep the gas in the pipeline, it does burn cleaner. It does produce fewer emissions once it's burned than oil or coal. And so a lot of companies, Shell and BP, probably at the top of the list, have transformed themselves to be gas heavy, to sell a lot of natural gas as an alternative around the world to replace coal. Their fear is that if there is not a lot of confidence in the system and that there are bad actors who don't have to live up to high government standards, that leaks become more prominent and it undermines the whole case that natural gas is a cleaner fuel. But they are opposed by many, many other companies. There are only a handful of companies that have come out taking this position in support of federal regulation. But the largest oil and gas trade group in the U.S., the American Petroleum Institute, has gone a different direction. They're saying, even in opposition to some of their own members, that most companies find this to be a burden, that they will succeed, they'll have a better chance of success at limiting these emissions in a cost-effective way without government intervention.
You can find Tim's story up on WSJ.com. On to markets. Here's a question for you. Where do you go when there's no place left to hide? This isn't theoretical. Recently, seemingly unrelated areas of the market are trading in the same direction more frequently than normal. It's a trend that some investors say is contributing to recent volatility and could drive more gyrations in the future. And it's making it difficult to find a safe place to put your money, as Anna Isaac explains.
What we're seeing is markets across different asset classes are responding to the same pieces of news. And that means that commodities, equities, a whole bunch of different asset classes are moving in the same direction every time there's a new piece of information that might be a big geopolitical story, particularly if it's something like the US-China trade conflict, for instance. Because these stories are so enormous, they generate what's called macro volatility. So that kind of no place to hide level volatility where markets as a whole will gyrate in the same direction. And this means that the demand for havens becomes heightened. So people are trying more and more and more to see how they can move somewhere to keep their money safe. But at a time of negative or record low yields, because of this demand for havens, investors are going to have to keep some exposure to equities in order to try and get some kind of return on their money. But when you see these lockstep movements, that's a whole fresh challenge.
And now the SCED. Here's what else we're paying attention to today. South Korea's Supreme Court struck down lower court decisions for cases involving Samsung's de facto leader and the country's imprisoned ex-president. The two separate, though intertwined, cases revolved around Lee Jae-yong's bribes to former President Park. It's a corruption scandal that led to Ms. Park's ouster in 2017. Both have denied wrongdoing. We write that the ruling raises the odds both see more jail time for a bribery scandal that shook the nation. Finally, a new survey out this morning from the Conference Board found that American workers under 35 report being happier with their paychecks than people over 55. That's the first time since at least 2011. Lauren Weber explains why.
Younger workers are more likely to change jobs. They're figuring out what they want to do with their lives. They're trying out different employers, might be restless, might be moving around more often. So they are more likely to be new hires. And it is those new hires who are being paid at market rates rather than if you're sticking around in a job, maybe you'll get your company's annual raise, and it's probably relatively small.
Overall, the share of workers satisfied with their paychecks rose to 46.4% last year from 43% in 2017. But Lauren says it's not all good news.
In 1987, the first year that the Conference Board surveyed people on their job satisfaction, the number was around 61%. We haven't been anywhere near that for a couple of decades. And there are a lot of factors behind that. One is workers just have less bargaining power. Fewer people are in unions. They have fewer opportunities to, you know, negotiate better pay or, you know, better job protections. Also, companies have done a lot of outsourcing. Globalization and automation have had an impact on the workplace. Employers and employees are both less loyal to each other than they were 30 years ago. So there's a good chance we'll never go back to what it was in 1987.
We want to know, how do you feel about your salary and your prospects for earning more money? Email us at whatsnews, all one word, at WSJ.com or tweet us at WSJ Podcasts. We may use your comments in future reporting. That's What's News from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.